Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 24th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to allow us to be prepared for the things that are to come. We see before us the fulfillment of your word, and we ask that you would continue to give us the strength to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you a very interesting article I came across in the Christian Perspective. That's CBN News, CBN News. The article was published on May the 6th, 2020. And, of course, you're aware of the fact that there have been certain restrictions that have been passed in states with regard to the wearing of a mask or not getting too close to individuals. And so the title of this article, as I said before, is quite compelling. The title of the article is United States of Snitching. That's the first part of the article. United States of Snitching. And then it continues. Tattletales turn on fellow Americans. Mayors tell churches to turn in their members. Mayor tells churches to turn in their members. Now let me give you the whole title again. United States of Snitching. Tattletales turn on fellow Americans. Mayor tells churches to turn in their members. Here's the article. Many people across the country have become pandemic snitches, calling the police and public health authorities, as well as shaming their fellow Americans on social media about not wearing masks and not participating in social distancing. Some have gone as far as even calling people's employers to snitch on them. These citizens supposedly are more worried about the spread of the COVID-19 virus than about Americans' freedoms and have become unofficial watchdogs, according to the New York Times. Now, let me pause here to let you know something. I don't know if you remember this, but during the Inquisition, there were those who were neighbors who would tell on their neighbors what they were doing or, more importantly, what they were not doing. And if you read Matthew chapter 24, you'll realize that in Matthew chapter 24, it begins to talk about the betrayal, those who betray you by friends, and also Luke 21 describes that. I found this rather interesting. Continuing the article. One Wisconsin man called out a cardiologist in his town for not social distancing or wearing a mask at a recent lockdown protest. Kevin Roush quickly shared photos of Dr. David Murdoch on social media. His picture popped up, and when I saw it, I was furious, Roush told the Times. I thought, this guy is out here hugging people and rubbing elbows without PPE on, and he's actively seeing patients. Others also contacted the hospital where Murdoch was employed, and it resulted in the doctor taking a one-week leave. Dr. Murdoch became one of the most public casualties of a growing crowd of social distancing vigilantes, the Times reports. The newspaper describes people snitching on their neighbors as citizen action, but Murdoch shared a very different perspective on social media. In a lengthy Facebook post, the 33-year-old career research cardiologist wrote about why at first he was in favor of the stay-at-home order, and then as he saw the results of the lockdown, he began to have a change of heart. The effect of the first, safer at home on our local economy and our local health care system has been devastating, Murdoch wrote. He reports the results of his photos being posted from the Lift the Lockdown rally, which led to serious repercussions. Upon returning home, I learned of some of the comments made on social media about me and the orchestrated slander of my name and reputation, he wrote. But most disturbing was the vulgarity involved and a clear sense of an orchestrated political hit job. There were words said using language that I haven't heard since high school. They vandalized my home by scattering feces on the front steps, prompting me to file a police report. They also mocked Christianity. Nobody should have to put up with this evil. No human has the right to inflict this pain on others, he concluded. Meanwhile, the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, had to do some backpedaling after he issued an executive order requiring all houses of worship to record the names and contact information of any person who stays inside for 10 minutes or longer. The information was required so that the Kansas Department of Public Health could quickly trace, test, and isolate individuals if some who may have been exposed to someone who may have COVID-19 attended the religious gatherings. Liberty Counsel, a religious right law firm, was contacted by several pastors and immediately broke the story, which quickly went viral. As a result of the public outcry over the unconstitutional provision, Kansas City reversed its order and issued an amended order. Under the new order, the recording of names and contact information is no longer mandatory, but it is voluntary. Kansas City also imposed a 10-10-10 rule on religious gatherings and some non-essential operations. The three tens stood for no more than 10 people inside or 10% of building capacity, whichever is greater, and record the names and contact information of any person who remained inside for 10 minutes or more. Essential operations were and remain exempt. However, the amended order still imposes the 10-10 rule and no more than 50-person limit on outside religious or gatherings, the latter of which is not imposed on any secular gathering. Liberty Council founder and chairman Matt Staver said, "The requirement to record names and contact information of anyone who attends a religious gathering was a gross violation of the First Amendment. Due to the overwhelming public outcry, the Kansas City mayor reversed course and removed this unconstitutional provision. This is good news. The bad news, which Kansas City must still remedy, is the continued and unconstitutional treatment of churches and houses of worship compared to other secular gatherings." Well, I found this article incredibly compelling because, one, it tells about the people who are tattletales, it calls them, and snitches. But then notice that the churches are getting to the place where they're saying that they are the ones who are being inconvenienced, and people are saying how you can't be in the church. And of course, you know that the president just recently, in the last few days, said that he is going to categorize a church as an essential functioning organization, so that you have to be there and you have to allow people to be there. We will deal with that as we go forward and take a look at how that is going to work out. There's another article also published on April the 29th, 2020, dealing with the Kansas City. It says, the title is "Kansas City Announces 10-10-10 Rule Plan Allowing All Businesses to Reopen No Later Than May the 15th. And of course, this deals with the same subject, but let's take a look at it. Here's the article. Mayor Quinton Lucas, incidentally, the article is found in the KMBC News website. That's the KMBC News website. This is a Channel 9 ABC news site. And the title again, "Kansas City Announces 10-10-10 Rule Allowing All Businesses to Reopen No Later Than May the 15th. Here's the article. Mayor Quinton Lucas released his plan Wednesday for a soft opening of Kansas City businesses and institutions that have been shut down during the COVID-19 outbreak. Under the plan that begins May the 15th, all Kansas City businesses will be able to open but are subject to a 10-10-10 rule. On May the 6th, it's stated this way. The city said, based on public health guidance, non-essential businesses that are not open to the public will be permitted to open May the 6th and will be subject to social distancing guidance. The city said that Kansas citizen who does not yet feel safe returning to a non-essential workplace cannot be compelled by their employer to return prior to May 15. Lucas said that May 6th to May 15 no one actually has to come back to work earlier than they are ready. Then it continues. Phase one of the full 10-10-10 plan allows buildings and businesses that service the public to reopen with 10% building occupancy or 10 people allowed inside a business, whichever is greater. Sign-ins with a contract information will be required for anyone who visits a business for more than 10 minutes. Plus, social gatherings up to 10 people inside or 50 people outside will be allowed. This includes weddings, funerals, and religious services. But businesses and organizations must gather contact information on all attendees. Establishments such as grocery stores, medical and dental offices, pharmacies, and other essential businesses are not subject to the 10-10-10 rule, the city said. Gyms, museums, bars, and in-person restaurants, dinings will open with additional health department guidance on May 15 to best protect workers and patrons, the city said. City parks and outdoor recreation facilities will reopen provided users follow social distancing guidelines. However, public pools, playgrounds, basketball courts, and other potential gathering places will remain closed pending additional guidance from the health department. More important than moving quickly is moving carefully and responsibly. And the steps we're taking today allow our businesses to return to productivity while keeping their workers and customers safe, they said. In addition to this new set of rules, Lucas said the city's state of emergency has been extended an additional 90 days, which will allow the city to better regulate the size of gatherings and events. I feel it's safe to say that there will not be a Kansas City Royals basketball game at Kauffman Stadium in the month of May, Lucas said. City officials said if the positive test percentage remains on a downward trend, they hope to allow larger events, perhaps up to 50 people or 50%, sometime in June, and a return to full capacity won't be likely until later this summer. Kansas City's 10-10-10 rule is expected to be enforced by the health department. Violations of this order constitute an imminent threat and create an immediate menace to public health. Businesses in violation may be subject to a fine or may be ordered to suspend business. Earlier this week, Governor Mike Parson unveiled the Show Me Strong Recovery Plan that outlined details of how businesses can begin to reopen starting May the 4th, following weeks of closure aimed at closing the spread of the coronavirus. But Parsons also said local officials would be able to make their own decisions about when to open things back up. And Kansas City's stay-at-home order is in place through May the 15th. So you see, these cities are getting very serious about opening up, and you're not being able to open up immediately in the way that you would think you would want to, but you're going to have to follow some distinct plans that they have laid out. Those two articles, the first one that I read for you today, is found in the CBN News website, published on May the 6th, 2020, United States of Snitching, Tattletales Turn on Fellow Americans, and Mayor Tells Churches to Turn in Their Members. And the second article that we read is found in the KMBC News. It's a television station, but it's a news website, published on April the 29th, 2020, entitled Kansas City Announces a 10-10-10 Rule. Which allows for businesses to reopen no later than May the 15th. Now, I'd like us to begin to take a look at something here that has a little bit to do with something else, and it's found in the Spectrum website. That's the Spectrum website, published on April the 15th, 2020. The writer of this article is Rich Hannon. Rich Hannon. And the title of the article is The Church State Issue in the Paycheck Protection Program. The title again, The Church State Issue in the Paycheck Protection Program. Here's the article. On March the 27th, 2020, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, that's the CARES Act, was signed into American law. It is a $2.2 trillion stimulus package intended to blunt the economic impact of COVID-19 pandemic. Social distancing has necessitated massive business closures with a resultant tsunami of layoffs. One provision of the CARES Act is the Paycheck Protection Provision, the PPP. A significant and somewhat controversial allowance in this provision is that faith-based organizations can apply for loans that would then be used to forestall layoffs within their enterprise under the same terms given to secular businesses. This has raised concerns about whether such an inclusion violates the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution, the relevant text in that clause being, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Concerns flow in both directions. That is, government giving money to religious organizations and religions taking money from government. In the giving direction, the fear is that government would be the initiator of a creeping and inappropriate bridging of the Establishment Clause. In the taking direction, the typical Adventist reaction I have seen in article comments and on social media is that this would violate the long-standing SDA position on separation of church and state. On April the 10th, Spectrum republished an article from the North American Division, which states that the NAD is counseling American SDA administrative entities to refrain from applying for these monies. The relevant section states, and now they state what is taken from that article, quote, great care has been taken by the Seventh-day Adventist Church Administration Legal and Human Resources Function to evaluate these available programs. The need to balance was carefully considered. North American Division leadership, in consultation with the leaders of its 9 union conferences, has recommended that church entities abstain from participation in portions of these programs providing direct financial assistance to the church. They are asking church leaders across the division to prayerfully consider both biblical prophecy and principles, as well as the church's long-standing warnings on the intermingling of church and state prior to obtaining government assistance. The article links to the official guide statement, and it says this, there have been questions regarding how receiving this money fits into the Seventh-day Adventist Church's long-standing and historical commitment to the separation of church and state. While the risk associated with this money is uncertain, NAD leadership's primary concern is remaining faithful to the counsel we've been given regarding to church-state relations. We acknowledge that the April 3, 2020 guidance regarding this issue stated that at that time, Office of General Counsel had no strings that would be objectionable to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. However, that is not the primary motivating factor of this more specific guidance. In light of the teachings of Revelation 13, NAD leadership believes that regardless of the legal implications of these programs not participating in more consistent with our long-standing beliefs and practices, we should refrain from applying. Now notice that even though the letter from the NAD here is pretty long, and we've read that letter to you before, but you notice that it does not actually say that you must not. You're given the opportunity to make that choice. Now this article really is from the Spectrum, and it's quite a long article. We're not going to be able to read the whole thing today. I just read one more paragraph that is in that article. And remember, the article I'm reading from is the Spectrum. The Spectrum is the Spectrum website, published April the 15th, 2020. The title is The Church-State Issue in the Paycheck Protection Program. And it refers to the CARES bill that was passed in Congress on March the 27th. It's the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Bill. One last paragraph in this article I will share with you. It says this: several things are evident to me from this verbiage. First, legal counsel saw no strings that would be objectionable. Yet, in light of the teachings of Revelation 13, NAD leadership recommends non-participation. But however much we are assured that great care was taken, and I don't question the sincerity of those words, I do question whether this decision has been adequately thought through. The documents make clear that the core concern is theological, not pragmatic, but there is no explanatory verbiage detailing just how the PPP provision is theologically wrong. Even though legal counsel sees no entanglement, now such vagueness would be of little consequence if the ramifications of some wrong decision were minimal. But the risk here involves potentially laying off a large number of church employees. If that risk proves to be real, then it seems to me that the NAD needs to have a strong, defensible case for their position, adequate to justify the consequences. Serious harm to many faithful Adventist employees could be involved. And of course, you notice that the writer of this article does not agree, basically, with the decision taken by the NAV. Now, we will continue to take a look at this in the future. And this is quite an important issue. But you and I need to understand that what God has instructed us regarding all that is to come to place is coming to pass. And you and I need to understand that once we get involved with taking money from the government, it immediately begins to link us in ways that we have no idea how the future will reveal. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings that you have given us. And we thank you that slowly, day by day, we see all that you have said is coming to pass. We see the threats that are looming ahead. And we ask, Lord, for your guidance. We lift up before you those who are making the decisions that they are making. We ask, Lord, that you would clear their minds so that they might see clearly the implications of their thoughts. We ask also that you would help us in our personal lives, that we will make the right choices and we will make the right decisions so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is your daily briefing, May the 24th, 2020.